Hello, and welcome to the Church on the Hill podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to join us live this Sunday at 500 Sands Drive in San Jose, California. Visit churchonthehill.com for service times and directions, and also to learn more about connecting, growing, and serving at Church on the Hill. Now, please enjoy our sermon at Church on the Hill.
Rick Griffith is here all the way from Singapore. Rick, would you come up? Would you give Rick a round of applause? Rick is one of our missionaries in Singapore, and there's a transition happening in your ministry, which you're going to talk a little bit about, and we'll talk a little bit more about later.
Yeah.
But would you give just one more Church on the Hill welcome to Rick?
Thank you, guys. Wow. Well, wonderful, wonderful to be with you here. And it's nice to be able to give Pastor Scott a little break, right? We all need a break. A lot of times when speakers come up here, they share about what they know, right? That makes sense, doesn't it? So to shake things up a little bit, today I'm going to tell you not so much what I know, but what I don't know, all right? I suspect you have a lot of questions about a variety of things that you don't actually know. What would you like to know? Think about what you would like to know, and you don't actually know it right now because God hasn't shown you. I'll tell you, one of the things I would like to know, but I don't know, is why are we still in this pandemic after a year and a half? I don't know. I don't think I can quite grasp that one. Here's another thing I don't know. Why is it that it seems like the people so often that are the wealthiest are the least godly? I don't know. I'll tell you what I don't know. Why is it, like in my church that I've been pastoring in Singapore the last 15 years, that sometimes those women who really, really want to be a mother, to have a baby, cannot do so? Where those who don't want to have a baby get pregnant and have a baby, or don't have a baby because they don't want the baby. Sorry. I don't know that either. Why is it that the key question that you're thinking about in your own life, and I don't know what that is, but you know what it is, where you've come before the Lord on that issue many, many times, and you said, God, I don't really understand this one. You know what that question is you're asking the Lord, and he hasn't said anything to you about it. Like heaven is silent. Why doesn't God answer that question? Why doesn't God resolve that issue for you? Again, I don't know. So I'm here to tell you what I don't know. And we're actually going to address this question. How should you deal with your ignorance of God's ways? Here's one thing we all have in common. We're all ignorant. We all have things we just don't understand about how God works in our lives. So how do you actually deal with those kinds of issues? That's what we're going to talk about today. We're talking about Israel, and the context in the book of Deuteronomy is one of Israel having gone through the wilderness for some 40 years. We're going to meet them right at the end of that time. Moses has already written five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and we're going to look at Deuteronomy, and we're going to go right to the end of Deuteronomy, and we're just going to deal with one verse today. Can you handle that? Just one verse, all right? And my prayer is that the Lord will help us answer this question. How you actually deal with these things that you just actually don't know. What we find here is that we're at the end of the 40 years, and in the very first verse of the book of Deuteronomy says, these are the words that Moses spoke to all the people of Israel while they were in the wilderness east of the Jordan River. So they're just poised to enter Canaan on the east side. We're going to be moving there, not too far from there in a few weeks. They're looking at Canaan from afar. They've got the wilderness wanderings behind them. What they've been looking at is dirt, dry plants, scorpions, and they've been looking at their parents die. All of their parents have passed away because their parents weren't willing to trust God at Kadesh Barnea to bring them into the land. So God says, we're going to wait 40 years here and all of them be buried in the desert. So now we have the new generation. And Moses is there with this new generation who are ready to hear what God wants to say through Moses as they're about to cross the Jordan River and on into Jericho, first city they've got to come to, powerful city. And they know some things, but there are actually quite a few things they don't know. And they were ready to hear from Moses. Moses is the covenant mediator in the book of Deuteronomy, which actually covers five different sermons of Moses. And we're going to just kind of highlight one verse from the last of those sermons to answer this question. How should you deal with your ignorance of God's ways? And we'll look at three keys to do that. So what's the first? What's the first way to deal with God just not knowing actually how he's dealing with our lives? Here it is. And hopefully you've got your little sheet there with the notes and you can fill in some of these blanks as we go. The Lord says, don't worry about God not telling you everything that you want to know. So often we get concerned about the things that God doesn't tell us, and all along God is saying, actually, I really didn't want you to know the answer to that question. So don't get anxious about what the Lord doesn't want you to know. And the verse we're going to look at is this one, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. That's easy to remember, right? Deuteronomy 29, 29. And here's what the first part of the verse says. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Now think about that. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. In other words, God knows a lot of stuff and he's not going to tell you or me. So they're secrets. They're mysteries. They belong to him. They don't belong to us. He doesn't spell out what these secret things might be here. But I suspect they would be things like the psalmist struggled with in Psalm 37 and Psalm 73. Lord, why do the wicked prosper? That'd be one of the secret things if God never answers that question. I think about Job under his suffering. And he says, Lord, why am I suffering? You know, you can go through the whole book of Job. You get to chapter 42. You get to the end. And the question's never answered. You ever noticed that about Job? God never said, okay, Job, here's the reason why I want you to go through all that. And actually, this is the way it is for a lot of us. We're demanding answers from God. And God says, sorry, I'm not going to tell you. Maybe he's not going to tell you the answer of the issue that you face. Because he wants it to remain a secret. For his own reasons. Sort of like a father. Today's Father's Day. I mean, do you fathers tell your children the reasons for everything you do? I don't think so. A good dad doesn't do that. A good dad knows that I'm just going to care for my kids and I'm not going to tell them everything. I don't even do that now as a father of three grown sons. Our sons are 34, 31, and almost 29, you know. There's a lot of these sort of things that are secret to God. In your personal life as well as the big deal. Why did God send Jesus to die for our sins? Yes, but why? I don't know. I don't think I can explain that to you properly. Why would God As I was growing up, I remember I grew up in Castor Valley, Hayward, right up the bay here. And I remember being the only child in a class of 24 from a broken home. Non-Christian family. Can you imagine such a thing today? Only one child out of 24 where divorce had struck. I had three fathers, speaking of Father's Day. And none of those three fathers lived the kind of life I wanted to imitate. Why? I've asked the Lord many, many times, and God has said, that's my secret. I'm not going to let you know. But I want you to, and we'll get on to that in a minute. That's what the Lord does in our lives. Why would God choose someone like me, an insecure guy from a broken home, and then want to do something in my life? Maybe because it's all about him, as we just sang on that last song, Magnify the Lord. Why would God take me and give me an opportunity to serve him in Asia for the majority of my life? For 32 years, we have lived in Asia, 2 years in the Philippines and 30 years in Singapore. But God's doing an interesting thing in our lives, is he not, my dear? we gave away about 90%, 95% of what we own the last few weeks. We flew back here to the U.S. last week. God's trimming our lives down, and he's moving us. He's made it very clear to us that our ministry in Singapore, we've handed at least 7 or 8 of our ministries over to other people who are qualified, many of them more qualified than we are to do that, and he's moving us to Jordan. Never in my life did I ever dream that we would live in the Middle East. Never. That was one of the secret things of God. And so we're going. I've been invited to be on the faculty of Jordan Evangelical Theological Seminary, JETS. So I'm shifting from Singapore Bible College, where I've been a professor for 30 years, to JETS, where I'll be a professor of Bible and theology for, I don't know, how many more years. That's a secret thing of God as well. And this school is all in Arabic, which is a secret thing to me, believe me. I'm going to have to be translated into Arabic because my Arabic is about 2 or 3 words, I think, at this point. I'm trying to learn the letters, so I put the letters up there as a reminder to me. Why would God do something like that in a life? Why would the Lord give us a 2-year-old grandson and a granddaughter on her way, going to arrive in a few weeks in August, and then he doesn't call us back to the U.S., he calls us to Jordan? Friends, these are the secret things of God. And I'm trying to learn that I don't have to know all this stuff. I don't have to know everything. I need to rest. I need to rest in what God is doing in my life. Maybe it's the same for you as well. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Are you trying to get into the secret things that God is not revealing to you? Sometimes we may be demanding, Lord, I want to know this. And God says, well, if I told you, then you'd be God. You know, let's keep things straight here. He's God, we're not. So he knows the secrets, he knows the ways, and I wonder what kind of secret thing God has not revealed to you. And really what he's saying to you in all this is, would you just relax? Would you just trust me with this thing? Would you just walk by faith and not walk by sight? May I encourage you to do that, about that secret thing in your own life? So this is the question. How should you deal with your ignorance of God's ways? And the first thing I find in this verse that I find very helpful is, don't worry about God not telling you about what you want to know. Because the issue is not what you want to know, I want to know. It's really more about him. So if that's what we're not supposed to do, what are we supposed to do? Well, thank God, he tells us in the verse. He says, instead, seek to know what God wants you to know. What God does tell you. So the verse continues on, and he says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Ah, so there are things that are revealed. What might they be? What might God have, what has he revealed to us? Well, we can stand on solid ground to have this Bible, 1,100 chapters. And a lot of times people say, Lord, I want to know more. And I would say to them, well, do you know the 1,100 chapters already? Do you know what he's already revealed? Or are you kind of still working on that? I'll tell you, my PhD is in Bible. I'm still working on it. I've taught through the Bible 37 times, from Genesis to Revelation. I'm still working on it. I have a lot to learn about what God has already revealed. But I do have this privilege to knowing a guy, this great theologian, Mark Twain. You know I'm jesting about that, right? He said, it ain't the parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand. Now, he wasn't exactly a godly man. And he was concerned about the things that he did understand. But I think most of the time I would say, Mark Twain is not my example of who I want to follow. But on this one, it's a good one. Don't be so over-concerned about the things you don't understand. Do what the Lord has already revealed. And in my quest here, I have tried to develop this over the years as I've taught through the Bible. And I put together a website called Bible Study Downloads. You have that on page 2 of your notes. I hope you'll access this later on today. And you'll see, well, there's some things here that God has revealed. I don't have the Bible translations up there, but I have the teaching that I've developed and others have developed that I've collected for the last 40 years or more on throughout the scripture. And the idea here is, let's see what the Lord has revealed. All right? Let me give you just a quick commercial, okay? 6 of the courses go from apologetics to church transformation, telling us a lot about. These are all different courses, so there's a lot of PowerPoint in each one of them. As I noted, about 200,000 PowerPoint slides, if you're a visual learner like me, you know. Course notes, a few thousand pages of course notes, I think about 8,000, 9,000, something like that. Many different courses on theology, so you can learn about the Holy Spirit or Jesus, it's about the future, etc. There's several courses going from, here's a really neat one, a real focus of the site is the Bible, basically, that goes through the entire Bible 6 times in 10 hours. I find that a lot of people lack an overview of Scripture, of what God has revealed. And so a friend of mine developed that, and my students are translating these into these various languages. We have about 53 languages right now on the website. And for example, the major focus of the website is actually a lot of teaching on each book of the Bible. Maybe 300 to 400 slides, PowerPoint slides on every book of the Bible. New Testament survey, especially Old Testament survey, which we have going in 9 or more languages right now. So if you have friends that, you know, you want to share scripture with, but they're more comfortable in Chinese or Vietnamese or Korean or whatever. My students have been working, over 700 of my students have been working for the last 20 years or so on this website as I've been kind of managing the translations. It's a great opportunity to just refer people to a particular place where they can get materials that are evangelical materials. The point here, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children. So my question for you is, are you growing in the things that are revealed? You actually have a plan in your life for how you're going to understand more of what God has revealed and have it be part of your life? Do you have a goal? Do you have a specific goal? Like, for example, how much of God's word that you actually were reading? For us, this has changed over the years as we hit various stages in our life. Susan and I have been empty nesters for 10 years now. And at this particular part of our life, we find it's refreshing to read 3 chapters of the Bible every day. and discuss it. And we go through the whole Bible in a year. Better than that, the whole Bible goes through us every year. And I would suggest that you get a plan of understanding how you can better grasp what God has revealed for you so it's good for you and for your children or whoever you're investing your life in. Maybe they're not your children, but God has called you to invest his word into others. So this question, how should you deal with your ignorance of God's ways? The verse has told us that don't worry about God not telling you everything you want to know. Instead, seek to know what God does tell you. Focus on what is revealed, not on what is not revealed. And then you won't be so frustrated. Why? So that you can obey what you do know. It actually all moves toward obedience. You can see this in the verse if you read ahead a little bit. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Or if you have a New Living Translation, it says that we may obey the words of these instructions. It all moves toward obedience. I mean, God is not in the business of making us smarter sinners. You know, what value is there for being a smarter sinner? No, he wants us to be transformed saints. He wants us to make sure that what he reveals to us actually changes us and changes us for the better. And so make sure that what you see that he's revealed actually works itself out in your life. One of the biggest projects of my life, I just finished last year, and that is to preach through the whole Bible, one sermon for every book. So I have one sermon on the book of Genesis, one sermon on the book of Exodus, etc. Can you guess how many sermons it was? Yeah, 66 sermons. That was the longest series I've ever preached. But it dawned on me, you know what? We are not human doings. We are human beings. It's not so much what you do that's so significant, it's who you are. So who does the Lord want me to be? What does he want me to be? What does he want you to be? And so I decided I'm going to go through and I'm going to title every sermon with the first word, be. And it starts with Genesis, obviously. Be faithful. I think that's the basic idea of the book of Genesis. God called these people and he had a plan for them. Their responsibility was to be faithful to God's plan. So Genesis is be faithful. Exodus is be formed. Leviticus is be holy, etc. as you go all the way through. Deuteronomy, be renewed. And my goal in all of that is for us to obey, for us to apply what God says, because that's really the focus of this particular verse. So it goes from be faithful all the way till you get to the end, the last book of the Bible, Revelation, be triumphant. This is what God wants for us. He wants us to be victorious, not be defeated Christians. And Revelation will show us how to do that. So I would invite you to go to the Bible Exposition link on Bible Study Downloads, Bible Exposition. And it's all summarized for you. There's all the PowerPoint, the audio, a lot of video, etc. And hopefully it'll help you follow, really find the answer to this question. So here's our question again. How should you deal with your ignorance of God's ways? So I think we can all relate to that. We're all ignorant. Rejoice in your ignorance, okay? I think that's what God's telling us. And how do you do that? How do you rejoice in it? Obey what God says instead of worrying about what he will never tell you. You're not going to convince God to tell you the stuff that he doesn't want to tell you. So my advice, give up. Give up to trying to get God to tell you this stuff that he really doesn't want you to know. Rather, rest in your ignorance. But don't leave yourself in your ignorance. Read, learn what he has revealed for you, to you, so that, as the verse ends here, so that we may follow all the words of this law. It all moves to obedience. So may I encourage you, as you read through Scripture, that you say, wow, okay, Lord, thank you for what you've shown me here in this passage. What do you want me to be as a result? How do you want to change me? How do you want to transform me through your word? You know, I think it's quite clear that most of what you're going to learn is going to be through your own self-study. You can have a sermon a week and that kind of thing. It's those of us who preach, we really want our preaching to be transformative, but it's nothing compared to what you do on an individual basis. What you do to actually feed yourself from the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for this privilege to just focus on really one verse, Deuteronomy 29:29. What wisdom you have to tell us that you're not under any obligation to put us in the driver's seat and have us decide all the things that we want to know and then you're going to hop to it. No, you are God, we are not. I just pray that you'd help us to accept that. I pray that you'd help us to give heed to what you have revealed and not be so concerned about the things that we don't know. And then as you reveal this to us, Lord, to help us to obey, to help us to be the kind of men and women that you want us to be, whether we're fathers or mothers or neither, or whoever we are in the particular place you've put us in our lives. And we will give you the praise in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Amen.